Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled, A Bad Report. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
All right, so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter 13. We'll be in the Old Testament here this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning about a bad report. In Numbers chapter 13, we're going to see how a bad report can keep us from experiencing the promises of God. A bad report, it can influence our discernment. And sometimes that discernment can get clouded by certain, variables. A bad report is one. If you receive a bad report, and the bad report I'm not talking about like is this, bad news that comes our way, maybe a sickness or an illness. That's not the bad report I'm talking about this morning. A bad report will cloud your judgment. A bad report, receiving a bad report, giving it life, can keep you from discerning God's promises. So before we read this chapter, before we go through this story, I'd like to just kind of remind you where the children of Israel are at this point in their life, what they're experiencing, what has taken place. When we read in Numbers chapter 13, up until this point, what has happened is they've traveled from Egypt, they've had the Red Sea crossing, they've journeyed through the wilderness, they're now at the wilderness of Paran, they're at Kadesh Barnea, which is in the northern Sinai Peninsula. It's basically just south of the Promised Land, so that's kind of where they're camped out. They're just outside of their promise, just outside of going into the Promised Land. Keep that in mind, where they are, and then what they've experienced. What have they experienced up to this point? Well, God called Moses to deliver Israel from slavery. They were in slavery while in Egypt. And Israel witnessed this take place. They witnessed God's love for their nation. They witnessed this in the form of plagues. Now, it wasn't so good for the Egyptians, was it? Up until this point, what has happened is God pours out these plagues upon Egypt in order to humble them and to release the Israelites from slavery, from bondage. But just to kind of give you some perspective again, what were those 10 plagues? Well, number one, God turned the Nile River into blood and then turned it back into water. That would have gotten my attention right there. Number two, God bring a plague of frogs upon Egypt and it didn't affect them. They saw God bring a plague of gnats. Some places will call it lice. Either one, they are both a pain in the rear end, correct? Brought a plague of gnats upon Egypt that did not affect the Israelites. God brought a plague of flies. I bet you they were yellow flies too. Brought flies upon Egypt that did not affect the Israelites. They saw God bring death to a portion of the Egyptian livestock that did not affect the Israelites. They saw God bring boils upon the Egyptians and their livestock and had no effect upon the Israelites. They saw God send hailstones upon the Egyptians. They saw God bring a plague of locusts upon the Egyptians. They saw God bring darkness upon one portion of the land, while the Israelites in Goshen had light. They saw Egypt experience the death of the firstborn. And you remember, the death angel passes over, sparing only those who had the blood of a sacrificial lamb over the doorpost of their home. So they saw these things. They witnessed them firsthand. They saw all these incredible tragedies. They saw the wrath of God, and that it was a limited wrath in order to bring, again, the Egyptians to submit and to release the Israelites from bondage. But yet none of these things affected the Israelites. That's where they're at. They've gone now to the Red Sea. They're at the Red Sea. The Red Sea is before them. They're fleeing Egypt. And of course, Pharaoh has a change of heart and mind. And he's decided, you know what? We need to have those folks back. We need to have those folks back because we have it pretty good when they're our slaves. So he has a change of heart, sends the army after them. Of course, we know the story. The Israelites see the Red Sea part before them. They cross through on dry ground. And they see the same sea that is parted for them come across upon the Egyptians who are pursuing them through the Red Sea, and they're drowned. So as they get on the next side, the other side of the Red Sea, this is amazing what they continue to experience. God leads them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When Israel becomes thirsty, they find bitter water. They drink it, but God suddenly turns the bitter waters to sweet, and it's drinkable. When Israel becomes hungry, they experience manna, bread from heaven. God gives them bread from heaven, and it's there as a daily provision. They can have daily bread. When Israel gets tired of bread, God sends them quail, because everybody needs chicken, right? Man cannot live without chicken. No, I'm just joking. God sends them quail to eat. Now, get that perspective, right? All these incredible blessings, all these incredible events that have taken place on their behalf, for their benefit. This is what they've encountered as we get ready to read the story. So after experiencing all this, hopefully it gives you some perspective of what we're going to read here. So what could possibly keep Israel from crossing over into their promised land? The answer is this: a bad report. A bad report. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. We're going to kind of work our way down through this chapter this morning. I'm not going to read all the verses, but verses 1 and 2 says this: "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan." Check this out. Look at this. "Which I am giving to the children of Israel." I am giving to the children of Israel. "From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." So God is instructing Moses to select 12 spies. This is not the idea of Moses. This is not the idea of man. This is God's idea. But this was God's idea. God said, you take 12 spies, 12 leaders from each of the 12 tribes, representatives. These folks are going to go into the promised land. They are going to see their allotted inheritance. That's why they picked one from each tribe. So these folks are going to spy the land. Land they are going to receive. Land that God has given them. Are you following me? So this is theirs. It's already theirs. They just have to go in, kind of check it out, spy it out. So let's read verses. Let's go down to verses 17 and 20. "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. Verse 18, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many. Verse 19, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like the camps or strongholds. Verse 20, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So Moses was sending out spies. They're basically gathering intelligence. They're bringing intelligence, and the intelligence was gathered. Again, it was not meant to persuade them whether they should take the land or not, because the land was theirs. The expedition was not sent in to whether they could take it or not, because the land is already theirs. Are you following me? So the mission was really for the tribes to become familiar with their land. They would understand their land, what their land held for them, what their land possessed, the promises that their land had. The mission was to inspire those leaders as they entered the land as spies, that they said, this is the land we're getting. This land is far better than the wilderness, than the desert we're in right now. And this land is far better than the land of Egypt where we lived as slaves. The intention of this mission was to encourage Israel's faith. But it backfires, doesn't it? Good news becomes bad news. So look at verse 26, Numbers chapter 13. Verse 26, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." Verse 27, "Then they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So good news, right? This is good news. The land that God has sent us to, technically they said the land you sent us to, which has already kind of given you the flash of what's going to take place. Because really what they should have said, the land that God has given us, this land is fantastic. This land is fruitful. It flows with milk and honey. But you can already tell that there's some hesitancy in this report. It's a good report. It's good. It's good as God said, maybe even better. But the next word we're going to see in the next verse, it's a change of perspective. And this word does not belong here. It shouldn't belong in the report of the 12 spies. There's the good news, but here's the bad news. Technically, church, there is no bad news. The land is theirs. There is no bad news. So God promised them land. God reassured them before they even crossed over that this land I'm giving, it's yours. It belongs to you. So this one word changes the entire conversation. Here it is, verse 28, nevertheless. If you need a better definition of that word, but. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Nevertheless, again, means but. In spite of. That word should have never came into the conversation. That should have never came into this report. The land was promised to them. It's great, but. And I love the reaction of Caleb. Caleb's reaction towards the other 10 spies, because remember, Joshua and Caleb, they're on the side of a good report, and the other 10 spies are on the side of a bad report. So I'm sure that as Caleb hears this, there's a fire that's burning inside this guy. And I'm sure that when the 12 spies were coming back, they talked about this, right? I mean, they weren't silent the whole way as they traveled back to Moses after spying the land for 40 days. They had conversation, you know this. And so soon as these guys fire up on their negative Nancy, so while these 10 spies, these negative people, before they flare up, or as they flare up, Caleb interjects and he does this. He's going to draw a line between the two conversations, the two parties. And I'm sure they're hoping that something's going to change in the traveling between where they were in the promised land and back to Moses, but it doesn't. Check this out. Numbers of chapter 13, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. He told them to shut up. Hush, right? Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He just wants to cut them off at the knees. Don't listen to these people. Don't listen. They're negative. God has given us a land. Let's take it. Let's go for it. Let's go tomorrow. Let's not wait another moment. Caleb gets it. He understands who God is, what God can do, what God's promised, and what God's done. He has great perspective. He understands what this means. Let's go in. Let's not wait. The other spies, they don't get it. They see obstacles. They don't see promises. They don't see promises. They see obstacles. They see obstacles that will prevent them from stepping into their promises. That's all they see. Their focus is on the obstacles, not the promise. Look how the other 10 spies respond to Caleb's words. And his words are words of faith. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That's a death nail right there in the coffin, in the proverbial coffin. The 10 spies saw with their own eyes what Joshua and Caleb, what they both saw. But you have two completely different responses. These people all have experienced the same things. They've experienced the same God of miracles. They've experienced seeing a land that is bountiful, that's a blessing, that's promised to them. But they have two complete different responses. These men saw challenges. Both of them saw challenges. They saw strong inhabitants. They saw fortified cities. But these challenges, in comparison to what God had done and what God was promising, what had happened is this. These two groups focused on one thing or the other. They either focused on the promise or they focused on the obstacle. Listen, Joshua and Caleb chose to focus on the promises of God rather than the challenges. The challenges of the situation. Listen, this should be a lesson to us all. Church, whenever God makes a promise to you, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be challenges to your faith. There are going to be challenges to the promises. But you have to stand firm on God's word, amen? God never promises a promise-free existence. I was going to sing Hakuna Matata there for just a second. God never promises a problem-free existence. But there are no problems that are bigger than God. There are no problems that are bigger than his promises. So the 10 other spies, they chose to focus on the challenges, on the promises, and this became the basis of their bad report. Church, we can talk ourselves out of experiencing God's best. We can totally talk ourselves out of experiencing God's promises. If we focus, if we choose to listen to a bad report, that bad report may be someone saying something in our ear, or that bad report may be what we come to our own conclusion. Have you ever came to the wrong conclusion before? If you figure that out, let me know, because it happens. So what I'm saying is this, it's not always external, sometimes it's internal. So a bad report will keep you from experiencing the blessings of God. 10 spies go out there, or 12 spies go out. 2 bring back a good report. 10 bring back a poor report. And these words, we are not able to go up against these people because they are stronger than we. Again, that's a death nail. It's the final nail in the proverbial coffin. And here's why. This is why this is it. This is why this statement is it. God said to them to take the land, to go forth. This land is yours. This land, I'll be with you. And so this statement is a statement of rebellion. It's a statement of faithfulness. It's based upon their opinion rather than God's word. See, God said it's yours. It's already yours. So when they say we can't take it because they are stronger than we, what they're saying is we're not going to because of whatever situation. But God has already said it's yours. Go in and take it. See, it's really a rebellious statement because it's a statement that is not filled with faith. It's faithfulness. God said, take the land despite the obstacles. But the spies responded, we cannot. And that's rebellion. Church, we have to be careful about expressing our opinions. We have to be very careful about expressing our personal opinions. And really, if they're personal opinions, guess where they belong? Not coming this way. They should belong up here. That way you and God can deal with them. But too many times we take our personal opinions and we spew them out. And we don't realize this, and it's a bad report. It's gangrene. Even though it's your personal opinion, it should stay with you. Because it's no longer a personal opinion when it comes out of your mouth. Are you following me? Here's an example. This is just an example. I'm going to take 2 verses. This is what God said to the Israelites before they went into Canaan. And this might be overkill. I think you've already gotten the idea. But I want you to see how specific God is with these people before they enter Canaan. And I don't want you to sit back and think, well, these people just, I can see why God would get frustrated. I'm going to tell you this. These people are just like church folks. So don't ever look at these people and say, well, I wouldn't react this way. Because, listen, I'm telling you, it happens all the time. All right, look at Exodus 19, verses 3 and 6. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. So they're going to receive this from God. You have, verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Boy, doesn't that sound like something we hear in the New Testament too? These are the words which I shall speak to the children of Israel. So God's already given them, this is just some perspective. Here's another example, Exodus 23, verses 22 and 23. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. God's telling them, if they're an enemy of yours, they're going to be an enemy of mine. For my angel will go out before you, bring you to the land of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivitites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Man, God, listen, they get to the promised land. They see these people. These people are mightier than we are. They're stronger. They're fortified cities. But God has already told them, listen, I'll go before you. I'm going to give you victory. That land is yours. Enter that land. Take it. I'll fight for you. Your enemies will be my enemies. God promised these people Canaan. God promised Israel that if they would go in and possess the land, their enemies would be his. Who can defeat God? Who can stand up against God? Who can come against his promises? The answer is this: Israel themselves. Now put it in your shoes now as a believer. What can keep you from the promises of God? No devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so no flesh. There's no situation, there's no circumstance that the Lord is not Lord over. So therefore, what can keep us from experiencing God's promises? We ourselves. And see, that's the burden we don't want to bear sometimes. Why aren't we experiencing God's promises? Sometimes it's because our mouths has given a bad report. May I remind you that a bad report kept these folks out of the promised land 40 years, and they died in the desert. Your words are powerful, church. Be careful. Your words reveal your heart. Well, I was just joking. My wife tells me this. A lot of truth is said in jest. So the report of the 10 spies, it was accurate. It was accurate. The land was good. It was full of blessings, but it was full of obstacles. But a bad report is not always inaccurate. Are you following me? A bad report is not always inaccurate. In fact, many times it is accurate. The facts are the facts. Again, it's the perspective. What's your perspective of the facts? See, this is what happens. This is what occurred with these folks. The 10 spies had an ungodly perspective, where Joshua and Caleb had a godly perspective. All 12 spies agreed the land was good. It was as it promised. But their reaction to the circumstances was completely different. And that is just like the body of Christ today. We know the promises of God. We know the blessings of God. They are in the book. We all read from the same book. We all have the same promises. But why aren't we walking in them? Because some of us have different perspectives. Joshua and Caleb brought a good report. Yes, the land is good. Yes, the land is inhabited by mighty warriors. But God has promised us this land. Those enemies of ours are God's enemies, and he'll fight for us. We just have to go in and take the land. What are we waiting for? The other spies, they brought a bad report. Yes, the land is good, better than we anticipated. We'll be better off there for sure, but we can't go in there because we're not strong enough. But what they're saying is this: it's a doubt of what God can do, what he's already said he would do for them. See, they're not doubting themselves, they're doubting God. So put that in perspective. It's experienced all these miracles, all these powerful things, and yet it's not good enough. And you know what? It's the same for us today. We experience the blessings of God. We know the goodness of God. But when the rubber hits the road and we fail to experience God's promises, we wonder where God is. Well, maybe God doesn't want me healed. Well, maybe God doesn't want this. Well, maybe God doesn't want that. And we begin to receive a bad report. We are not able to We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. See, this perspective put the focus on man, not God. May I remind you, if you are born again, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, gives life to your mortal body. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, empowers you. Listen, the same promises that God gave to folks in the first century belong to you as well. There are people in church, in our church, in any church, no matter what the situation might be, they will give or receive a bad report and allow negative situations to determine what they are going to receive. They will determine whether they're going to walk in the promises of God or not. Now, I hope I'm not trying to paint a picture that if we just have a good attitude, that there's going to be no problems. Listen, when the children of Israel were going to enter that, they're going to fight. And guess what? There were going to be casualties. They were never promised that there would be no casualties. So I'm not trying to paint pie in the sky here. I understand. But I'm just saying this. A lot of it comes down to our perspective. And then what comes out of our mouth, because it reveals our heart. I'm going to give you a hypothetical example. If we had an outreach to the community and 30 kids received Jesus, they started to come to church the next Wednesday, 30 kids showed up, an extra 30 kids showed up. I say, good news. That means some of you aren't doing something. We're going to need you even more. You need to step up. We're being privileged to disciple kids. It is a blessing. It is an honor. Jesus treated children with great concern and love. Guess what? You have the opportunity to disciple a kid for Jesus. Here's the bad report. Those kids will tear up the church. They're going to eat up all of our food. They're going to run up and down the halls hollering and going crazy. What if they break something? Who cares? Who cares about these things? These things are crazy to focus on them. But it happens. It happens all the time. A bad report. Venom has come out of your mouth. You probably should have thought before you spoke. See, if we give that pause, if we just pause and give the Holy Spirit some time, he can say, See, but once the words are gone, he's like, what else is new? What else is new? See, you don't have a Caleb there. The Holy Spirit wants to be the Caleb and say, hush your mouth for just a second. Think about what you're going to say. See, well, that's my opinion. That's why you should keep it to yourself. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in the desert. See, some people can't see past themselves. They can't see past their opinions. And what will happen is they just see the negative. And that keeps you outside of the promises of God. Now, if you put a couple of them together, or you get a group together, it causes a problem in a church. See, church, we are our own worst enemies. Listen, our enemy is not the LGBTQ, whatever community it is. It's not Democrats. It's not Republicans. Our problem is us. We are our own worst enemies. We serve the same God. We have the same promises, better promises, built on the blood of Jesus. So why are we allowing a bad report from hindering us from receiving the promises of God? Why? Look at Numbers chapter 14, verses 32. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who saw it are men of great stature. I understand that our promised land is spiritual in nature. Our promised land is heaven, amen? It's our ultimate promised land for us as believers. But we have to remember this, what Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there is a kingdom principle that should govern our lives. That while we are here on this earth, you bring heaven down. Are you hearing me? The principles of God's word, what we're going to experience in heaven, should be brought down to this place. Those are just principles, kingdom principles that we should live by. There are promises that we are entitled to, because we are God's children. Daddy wants to bless us, amen? So many ways, our spiritual journey is like the Israelites. Our journey here on earth is so much like the Israelites. And we live outside of God's promises. A bad report can be factual, but instead of focusing on the negative, instead of focusing on the obstacles, reorient yourself. Get into God's word and get his promises into your spirit. Amen? The reason why we don't do this is sometimes it's because it's failed for us in the past. So we don't want to go back in. We don't want to stand on God's word. We don't want to be hurt spiritually because it affected us. Come on now. But can I tell you this, that you got to brush yourself off? And having to do everything to stand firm. Amen? Church, there is nothing too big for our God. There is nothing too big for our Heavenly Father. We are children of God. Why do we choose to live outside of what God promises? Choose your perspective. Choose to see what God has promised you. Don't allow anyone to give you a bad report. Don't accept it. You don't have to be ugly about it. You don't have to be nasty about it. Just don't receive it. Amen? Numbers 14, verses 2 and 4. And all the children of Israel complained. Look at this. The bad report spread, didn't it? It's like gangrene. This is what happens when you spew venom. They complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had only died in this wilderness. What kind of perspective is that? Verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us into this land? To fall by the sword? That our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Return to slavery. Can I tell you this? That it happens in church all the time. It happens with born-again believers all the time. We would rather be in the bondages of religion, in the bondages of this or that, rather than in the promises of God. Because the promises of God have obstacles. But you can go back into the flesh and there are no obstacles. There's comfort. There's familiarity. I've seen this firsthand. A pastor, Jenny and I have worked in situations. Pastor has a vision, and opposition raises up. Now, those jokers had no vision whatsoever anyways. And here comes the pastor. He has some vision. The vision's biblical. It's not unbiblical. But because it doesn't agree with the preference of that small group, that minority, it becomes a bad report. And it opposes what God was trying to facilitate through that church into that community. I can remember hearing this from a person. Why are we trying to reach kids? Because the other churches have them. You were wrong. You were wrong. In fact, you were way wrong. I'm just telling you. Why are we hiring a youth pastor when we don't have any youth? You were wrong. You were wrong. Why does the church need a new van when we can't even fill the broken down nasty one that we got? You were wrong. A bad report governed your decisions. A bad report came out of your mouth. And I'm just saying this, that you have to change your perspective. If you want to live in lack, you'll live in lack. But if you want to live in blessings, you'll live in blessings. That doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean you're going to have, it doesn't mean all those things. It just means this, you are being God's provision. And listen, in Israel, when Israel was in the desert, that's not a good place to be. But they had God's provision and blessing while they were there. I'm just telling you this, wherever I'm at, I want God's blessing on my life. A bad report will keep me from receiving God's blessing, though. God has called this church to reach kids. He has. He's called us to reach kids. More than that, there are obstacles. There are obstacles to reaching our community, reaching kids, reaching families. We can say, well, we can reach those kids, but you'll never get those parents. Keep your bad report to yourself. Keep it right to yourself, because there's going to be a breakthrough. Because God's called us to reach people no one else is reaching. And I can tell you this, if you go look at our kids, they're not always the most popular kids in school. They're the kids that in school that no one else wants. But guess what? We'll take them, amen? There's some of them, they live in nothing but a chicken coop. You know what? We'll take them. You know why? Because God can turn that around and he'll get more glory out of that situation. If we'll reach people that no one else will reach, God will bless us. Church, I pray that we are mindful of God's plan for this church, for this community. I pray that we don't allow a bad report from anyone, to receive it from anyone, including ourselves, and it'll keep us from the promises of God. You know what? I'm so grateful that now that I can look back over 20 years of ministry, of ministering to kids, that I can look back and say, thank God we got those kids, because that kid's in the ministry today. Those kids are in ministry today, some of them. Isn't that incredible? A directional change in that family. See, this is how God responds to a bad report. If you're guilty of receiving a bad report, giving a bad report, I want you to hear this. Hear the spiritual nature of this. Apply it to your situation. The carcasses of you who complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. I don't even know if I need to go any further than that. That's a serious rebuke. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from the 20 years old and above, except for Caleb and the son of Jephthah and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Verse 31, your little ones, look at this, whom you said would be the victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity. Man, that'll preach right there. See, I think we're bearing the brunt of some infidelity. I really do. We got to overcome it. See, what I'm saying is this, a bad report will kill, and the next generation will bear the responsibility. You know, I think it's a shame that we don't have certain generations in our church that were once here. That's why we need new ones. That's why we need kids. See, a bad report will kill faith. A bad report will be fear-based. A bad report will disguise itself in reality, but it will diminish all the God possibilities. Well, I choose to be real. I choose to be a realist. Well, listen, Joshua and Caleb were realists. They knew the land had obstacles, but they said this, God's going to give us victory. See, there's nothing wrong with being a realist. Just have faith, amen? What are some of the promises God has made to you? What are some of the promises God has made to this church? Maybe God has made a promise to you in your health situation. Maybe God has made a promise to you about a relative and their salvation. Maybe God has made a promise to you about your marriage or someone else's marriage. Maybe God has made a promise to you and your child with your child's situation. Maybe God has made a promise concerning your job. What are the promises God has made to you? Now, what's going to be your response? Well, Pastor, listen, there, this person, that person, this situation, what is the promise, though? What is the promise? Get past the obstacles. Get past all the junk. What is the promise God gave you? Then once you've got that perspective, let that be your focus. It doesn't mean that you got pie in the sky, you got your heads in the cloud. It just means this, that's your focus. It's not the obstacles, it's the promise. Stand firm, amen? Stand firm. Listen, a family member, you could be praying for them, they could be running for God, they could be incarcerated. God's not done with them. Do they have life in their body? You may not even be here. God's the final arbitrator. You keep praying. As long as you have breath in your body, you intercede. You pray. You plead for their soul. You stand on God's promises. Amen? Amen? Whatever the situation is, no matter what the circumstances might be, search the Word of God. Take the promises of God. Lay them out before you. Stand on them. Quote them. Listen, church, don't give up and don't give in. Amen? No matter what life brings at you, no matter what the situation might be, friend or foe, it doesn't matter. Your position must be like Joshua and Caleb. Declare to yourself the promises of God. And this is this and the situation, and I'm standing on it. Amen. I want to close with this verse from the prophet Jeremiah. I'm only going to take the first part of the verse. Jeremiah 49:14. A report I have heard from Jehovah. What's God said to you? What report has he given you? What report has he given you? Not report what has life given you. Not what report a circumstance has given you. What has God reported to you? What has he whispered to your spirit? What is God saying to you? I don't care what man says. What has God said to you? What has God promised? And no matter what man says, don't allow that information, whether it's factual or inaccurate, or negatively impact what God has reported to you. Stand upon it, amen?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.